Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbite. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Where's the Christmas tree?
Exactly. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the 30th day of March, Anno Domini 2024. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Did you pay your dues? Don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
I have a nice evil glow here.
Yeah. It's almost like Rudolph knows right.
Too many people forgot the mic was on and said things they shouldn't have.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering if it might be stuff coming through this.
No, Dave, we're going to say turn off the delay. In the quiet, so if we were quiet for half a second, on the radio recording that you send me, there's an echo about 10 seconds. Behind.
Yeah.
So Rob thought it might be the delay, so he wanted to try without delay for a little bit, but too late for that now.
Yeah. Phishing attacks take advantage of Apple's password reset feature have become increasingly common. Multiple Apple users have been targeted in an attack that bombards them with an endless stream of notifications or multi-factor authentication or MFA messages in an attempt to cause panic so they'll respond favorably to social engineering. An attacker is able to cause the target's iPhone, Apple Watch, or Mac, or all of them, to display system-level password change approval text over and over again. Because the password requests target the Apple ID, they pop up on all of a user's devices. The notifications render all linked Apple products unable to be used until the pop-ups are dismissed, one by one on each device. Some people have reported more than 100 notifications, with each having to be dismissed one by one. The actual pop-up can't be used to gain access to an Apple device, and it serves as only a front for attackers to incite fear in the target. Following the flood of notifications, the attacker calls using a spoofed number that makes it appear to be coming from Apple. On these calls, the attacker confirms that the victim's account is under attack and that sensitive information is needed to put a stop to it. It appears that the attacker is after a one-time code to confirm a password reset or login attempt. The attack hinges on the perpetrator having access to the email address and phone number associated with an Apple ID at a minimum, and given the description of what's been happening, it's likely that bad actors also have access to the victim's Apple ID password from database leaks and other means. One-time codes are most often triggered as secondary security, so the attacker sends a notification spam, calls a target to save them from the attack, logs into the Apple ID with the stolen information and password, and triggers the one-time code. If the target hands over the code at this point, the attacker will have full access to the Apple ID. It is not clear yet how the attackers are abusing the system to send multiple messages to Apple users, but appears to be a bug that is being exploited. The best way to protect yourself is to use your brain. Decline all the reset notices. If someone calls and the call appears to be coming from Apple, don't believe it. Spoofing a phone number is a simple thing to do, so the best course of action is to hang up and call Apple support directly. There's never a situation where a one-time code should be shared with another person, and Apple will never ask for that code. Let me repeat that. Apple will never ask for that code. If you keep getting the messages, you can always change the phone number associated with your Apple ID, but please remember, this will interfere with iMessage and FaceTime. Hopefully, Apple is working on a fix so malicious parties can't abuse this system, but unfortunately, the password reset scam has been highlighted by users for at least 2 years and likely more. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple users getting multiple password reset requests. Your choices are, I got them and got caught, I got them and ignored them, Apple what now, and this is why I still have a pager. So far, we have 28 votes in the poll. 26 of them are Apple what now? One, I got them and ignored them. And one, this is why I have a pager. And none, I got them and got caught. So well done, you. And, of course, if you have anything to say about this or, well, dang near anything, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415.
You need a, I haven't got them, but thanks for the warning option.
Yeah.
Now I know.
And yes, it is a common thing. It is very easy to spoof an ID, a phone number. Very easy.
Oh, they're doing it all the time. Man, now they're even putting in names. Before you just see, say, a 585 phone number. Instead, now they're making up these names, and some of them are really ridiculous. That, you know, hoping that you're, oh, there, at least there's a name there.
Yep.
And you, and it's a spam call.
It's a spam call. But, yeah, you've got one of the people that I deal with a lot have a form you can fill out, and you can tell it's a bot because it's just a series of upper and lowercase letters for the name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a stolen email address.
And then they put the spam in the fields to fill out.
Right.
So we've done the same thing with forums. You have to fill out a form before you can post in the forum. And because the form got so full of spam, so now they're putting the spam in the form.
Right, right. And it's what people should do, and this is one way to fix it, is put in a hidden field.
Seven bytes, please hold.
Bots will fill it out even mm-hmm. though they can't see it, because what they've yep. done is stolen the code,
yeah,
not the front page, not yeah. visually seeing it. So they've stolen it, and then if that hidden field is filled out, you know it's spam. You don't even have to save it and do anything with it.
Yeah. And then on the other side, some malicious websites will have an invisible password number field or credit card number field that you don't see. It's either off the page or hidden. But your password manager does.
Right.
And so when you think you're signing up to get this cool newsletter – the bad guy is getting your password list or your credit card numbers because your password manager is dutifully filling it in like you wanted it to.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I've got mine set so that when it does that, it always asks for the 3-digit code
mm-hmm.
on the back. So I, you know, I've had that pop up once or twice and thought,
I didn't think I was buying anything right now.
we'll be closing this tab right now.
Interesting.
But yeah, so... be aware that these scams are out there. There's nothing you can do yourself to stop it, except to ignore the calls, ignore the password requests, just say no.
And
for now, Apple's working on it. I'm sure they'll, you know, do whatever they can when they can.
Probably, so I can see how the bad guys would be doing it. You got 1,000 computers. You try logging in to the same Apple ID 1,000 times a second apart.
Yep.
And the system says, oh, log in, send a notification. Oh, log in, send a So Apple's going to have to rate limit notification listings.
Yeah, and you should have two-factor authentication turned on always. Anywhere it is available, you should have it turned on. And two-factor authentication generally these days means you get a code sent to your phone. So is it annoying that you get those things? Yes. Is it better to be annoyed than to have someone break into your banking account? Yes.
And if a system you use is offering passkeys, passkeys are a new authentication system coming online that doesn't have any secret for the other end to keep. So right now, the other end is keeping your password a secret, theoretically, and generating a two-factor code that's currently secret, and then you put that in, and it only lasts one time, which is good. But so that's two secrets the other end has to keep. And time again, we see breaches where the other end lost the password database. So passkeys is designed for people that have smartphones, which is almost everybody. And it uses the biometrics in your smartphone. So you try to log into a website, and the a website will show a QR code, and you point your phone camera at it, and the website says, hey, is this Steve? And the camera says, oh, Face ID? Yeah, that's Steve. Tells the website it's Steve.
Yep.
So the other end has no secrets to hide, no secrets to lose, and everything's relying on your phone now, which already has the biometric data built into it.
Yep. So that's a pretty nice, that's actually a pretty nice thing. And, but any form of two-factor authentication is better than no form of two-factor authentication. So turn it on and use it.
In fact,
don't worry about being annoyed. It's better than being hacked.
Steve Gibson on GRC, I mean, I'll post a link, just did a whole podcast on two-factor versus passkeys. And you would think two-factor would be stronger because it's two factors.
Right.
And you know, mathematically, no, it isn't.
Right, right, right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is, I'm assuming, William from Hampton, Virginia?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's me. Good afternoon, panel. How you guys doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. What's the weather like up there today?
It's clear and chilly. Chilly, but I mean, it's up in the 40s. So, you know, I mean, like right now it's like 49 degrees. Probably get up into the 50s. But, you know, it's spring.
For Rochester, that's great. What's it doing down there? Do I even want to know?
You guys don't want to know. I think you might get jealous, so we're going to leave it right there.
Let's put it this way, Will. It's probably above 50?
Well above. Well, I haven't checked it at last, but I did wind up having to open up my windows to sleep overnight.
Oh, hush up.
All right, we hate you, William, just so you understand.
We can get frostbite.
It's not personal, but we hate you. So, all right, what's going on?
What's going on, my friend?
Okay, so I have one contribution and one observation, which I'd like to hear your comments on. The contribution is this. I had a problem some months back where I would try to transcribe, try to copy and paste transcriptions from YouTube videos into LibreOffice. And initially it did not work. And it turned, when I tried to paste using the hotkeys or control keys.
Right, right.
That didn't work. I just got the timestamps and that was it. So I fiddled around a little bit with the context menu in the editor, and lo and behold, it turns out that the text in the transcripts is formatted, and so what you have to do is unformat it and it will paste properly.
Oh, so the paste as text as opposed to paste.
Paste text only.
Yeah.
Yep.
On Linux, I don't know if it's true on anything else, but on Linux I can do.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true. I don't either. I don't know. But what I had to do was right click, open the context menu, and then there are several pasting options, and among them is unformatted text. You want to click on unformatted text, and the text will display.
Right. On Linux, I can, instead of Control V, I can do Control Shift V, and that pastes as plain text.
Command Shift Option V on the Mac.
Yeah. So you might also want to play around with that, see if it works. But that's good. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, William.
Yeah. Sure. And then different subject. I have just recently found out that Google has leveraged Workspace and Gemini to the point that now it is possible for another AI called the Devin AI software engineer to be used in conjunction with or integrated with Google AI. And I wanted to hear, I thought I might want to hear the panel's distinguished observations on that subject.
What's the name of that software? Software engineer?
Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Delta Echo, Victor, India, November, AI, software engineer.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, so I was wondering if you guys have heard of it, and if so, I thought I might hear your observations about it, especially.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I've heard scuttlebutt that supposedly it can now be integrated with the Gemini AI by Google, and you can just come up with awesome coding examples, of course, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about, oh, this is going to eliminate the software engineering category of occupations. You know, of course, I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, here's the thing. Devin is as they call it, a software engineer. The whole idea is that it writes code and does other stuff like that. And it can do it interactively, collaborating with the user. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It writes something and then you give it feedback and it writes more and you give it feedback. And that's fine. So there's two things about that. First is you have to be good enough to give it both an initial concept and good feedback, because, garbage in, garbage out. Right. If you give it a.
Exactly.
Right. So that's part one. And the second thing is all AIs, as they call it, hallucinate, or as we call it, lie. So you still have to check all the code by hand. And that, frankly, is where it tends to break down. Humans are lazy. Once the AI writes the code, we just rip it out and go, yeah, go for it. I've been trying, not Devin, but a couple of others, and I've been saying, using this package, can write this code to do this. And it comes back, and about half the time, it gives me functions that do not exist in the package.
Wow.
So you do have to be really careful.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just giving it bad examples. Maybe I'm, bad at describing things.
No. Stuff to be aware of.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but
no.
I'm saying it's less likely than simply the fact that the software is hallucinating. So you have to be super careful. And Devin's approach appears to be designed specifically for software engineers. And it's designed specifically to help developers. It uses tools like code editors and the shell and all of that. So theoretically, they've done their homework, and it doesn't hallucinate quite as much as some of the others, but I personally haven't tried it yet. But if in fact Devin is being integrated into Gemini, then maybe Gemini will be hallucinating less as time goes on.
I kind of wonder if it's like the early grammar checkers that went by strict rules of grammar. Remember David Pogue, a prolific writer, could never use a grammar checker because it hated everything he wrote, because he had his own style that wasn't perfect structural English.
And if you wrote anything in like a dialect, dropping your G's or, using a southernism like y'all or whatever, it just went crazy.
Yeah. So that's how, the coding is using rules. But you hear about that all the time. You can tell who wrote a program by the style of it, and you can tell this program was written by the same other person by the style of it.
Right.
Or, how their comments work, or the snarkiness of their variable names.
It does look, William, like there's going to be some integration between Devin and Gemini, and hopefully, if the Devin developers have really done their job, Gemini will get better at writing code.
Right. Nick, you going back to the example that you mentioned about someone writing or Devin writing some code and then pulling down functions that I think you said didn't exist or
simply don't
or
exist. Like, when you try to run the code, it comes back and says this function is not available.
Is that what you meant when you used the word hallucinate?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it makes stuff up.
Right.
We've seen the same thing in legal briefs. There are companies that are using artificial intelligence to write legal briefs to present in court.
Because you want it to do all the grunt work.
You want it to do all the grunt work instead of paying a human being to be a paralegal.
Right.
But
I think the whole point was to try and get any type of AI to do what supposedly should be repetitive tasks or iterative tasks.
The problem is when a paralegal does a brief, they actually look real stuff up.
Uh-huh.
When an AI does a legal brief, it often hallucinates.
Yeah. Wow.
And makes up stuff that doesn't exist. I've told the story before. There's a woman who kept getting calls about a scientific article she'd written. And she kept saying, I did not write this article. It's not even my field. Why are you telling me this? And it turns out that some AI somewhere hallucinated an article that she had not written, and other AIs picked up on that, and now it's all over the web.
Because multiple sightings makes it better, right?
Makes it legal, Google, makes it right.
Google ranking, the more links you have to it, the higher your rating is.
Exactly. So
yeah, I remember you mentioning that either a show or two ago. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so there's just the concept behind AI is excellent, and the promise of AI is astonishing. The reality of AI is very, very different, at least right now. It's essentially in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a kid tells you something, you don't go and publish it in a scientific paper without at least checking that.
Yeah.
You know, when a two-year-old says, you can only solve this mathematical equation with unicorns, you don't then write a scientific paper that says unicorns. You at least go check to see if unicorns can solve that equation.
That's why we haven't solved Fermat's last theorem.
That's exactly it.
Fermi's
last theorem. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Wow.
No, is it Fermat?
Fermat.
Fermat.
Fermat. Fermat. Got it.
Yeah. It's
been very insightful, fellas.
Thanks, William. We appreciate it. Have fun.
Enjoy your day, fellas.
And I hope it rains. No. Have fun down there.
All right.
Take care,
my friend.
We'll come and visit you this summer.
All right. You bet.
Later.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Later. 1637. This was his last theorem.
Yep. Yeah. There's just AI is still in its infancy.
Okay,
so, you know, the phrase trust but verify?
Yeah.
Don't even trust. Just verify.
Well, it's old school journalism. You have at least two credible sources from different directions, basically, that confirm the same thing.
Right.
But it's the internet and the rush to publish. You have to blog it before the 20 other people doing the same thing get to it.
Well, that's the big thing. Yeah. You have to be first. And sometimes being first means you're not right.
Yep.
And I understand that. But, you know, back when everybody had 6 o'clock news, you had a whole day to verify.
Yep.
You know, you could end up with saying, I talked to this senator and I talked to that senator on both sides of the aisle, and this is what we know. You know, but now it's like, well, somebody might have said at one point, I think I saw it on TikTok. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. That's
and
a little loud.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. You know you're giving a weather report in Rochester, New York, when you can go, it's cloudy. No, it's clear. Oh, no, it's cloudy again. Hold on.
It's Rochester.
Wait a
We've
minute.
Always said, you know, you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes and it changes.
Exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi, guys. First, thanks for putting your recordings on the archives, because I'm often not able to listen to it in person, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. It does. I will say it costs me a nickel.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that. It's fine.
Support is always appreciated.
That's right. But it's fine. Believe me, it's my pleasure to do. What's up?
Okay, good. So I've got a couple questions. First is, I've got a couple old PCs and a Chromebook also, where I've long forgotten the password to log on. Is there any way to clear them out so I can try putting Unix on them or something?
Derek's booting Nuke.
Yeah. In terms of the Chromebook, you can't put, depending on the Chromebook, you can't put Linux on it anyway. It has to be a pretty new and pretty beefy Chromebook to really run Linux. But in terms of the password for that, there is a forgot password button that you can just change your password. But it should be your Google Gmail, your Gmail username and password. So if you remember those, you should be able to get into the Chromebook. As for the PCs, as Steve said, finding a way to do it is not easy.
Well, if you want to break into the password and get to the data, that's tricky. But if you just want to erase the drive and start over again, that's easy.
Okay, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, then there's a program called Derek's Boot and Nuke.
Dban.org.
Dban.org. Steve's putting up a list, a thing on the list.
Link.
So, link on the list. So you download that. You burn it to a device, whether it's a CD or a
flash
thumb drive. And then you start the PC with that device. And one of the things it lets you do is completely wipe out the drive entirely. But also, you don't necessarily need to do that. If you want to put Linux on it, you can just skip that step and burn a new Linux to a device. And then when you boot that up,
just load it.
One of the things it will ask you is, do you want to erase this drive? And you say yes. So you have to read the prompts carefully.
Can I put Linux on it without being able to log in?
Well, it depends on the PC. If it lets you, it has to be new enough to let you boot from a thumb drive, or if it's got a CD in it, to be able to boot from the CD. Secondly, that happens in the BIOS. So if the BIOS itself is not locked, for example, on a Dell, you can press, I think it's F12 when you see the logo, you keep tapping F12 until it comes up and says, boot menu, what do you want to boot from? And then you say, I want to use the thumb drive, or I want to use the CD drive. And then it will boot from that. And then with that, you can just wipe out the hard drive, because at that point, the hard drive hasn't booted. So the password lock on the hard drive hasn't started. So as long as, you know, you're essentially bypassing everything that's set up on the Windows hard drive.
Right.
In fact, that's, as I've said before, I've sent a bunch of old laptops overseas with Doctors Without Borders. And half of them, there's a password on the Windows laptop, and I don't care, because I just boot from anything that lets me boot from a CD or a thumb drive lets me bypass all of that completely.
Okay, great. And then a second question, very different, in Apple's music program. It keeps asking me for my password, which is very annoying, and I keep, you know, clicking escape or something, and that disappears. But is there a way to stop it from doing that? Because it didn't used to do that.
Enter your password, and it will stop for a while.
Okay.
That's part of the Apple Music subscription service. It's trying to check to see if you have any new music that you purchased and download. And if you keep canceling it, it's going to keep coming back.
Okay.
If you don't use the Apple Music subscription at all and you don't purchase anything from the iTunes store, then you can sign out of your iTunes account, and then it won't ask again either.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There you go.
Good. Very good. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Ed. Have fun.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
But we see a lot of systems, Google, Apple, Microsoft, every now and then it will just ask for your password again to make sure it's still you.
Right.
So if someone gets a hold of your computer, they have access to all your stuff for a while.
Right. And so, yeah, so, you know, are password requests annoying? Yes. Are they good? Yes. So, you know, get over it. And yes, Ed is right. If it constantly asks, then that's annoying. So put in the password, and then we'll stop asking for a while. Or as Steve said, just log out of the account because you don't have any new music there. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Wayne from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Wayne. What's up?
Well, I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
The first is I've been using Mint, and I want to change the host name. So in order to do that, I found out that host name file is in the etc directory.
Yep.
And I also know that it's read-only, so I've changed that. So she modded it 700, so now it's going to be everything for super user. And what I'm trying to do is trying to get it now into something that I can change it to. In other words, I'll put it into Bash or something in order to be able to make the change.
Well, the easiest thing to do is to undo all the changes you made.
Okay.
And then use Linux Mint has a program called Host Name Control, which is actually Host Name CTL, all one word.
Okay.
So you type in host name control space.
Yes.
Set dash host name space and the new host name.
And the new one.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's too easy.
Sometimes it's too easy.
That's the way it looks. Okay, well, that one's easy enough. The other question for you is...
Okay. Now it's challenge level two. Entering level two. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm interested in getting a copy of Cha-Cha 20 in Python. Do you know where I might be able to get that?
I don't even know what Cha-Cha 20 is.
Oh, it's a stream cipher.
It's a stream cipher?
No. It is a stream
encryption cipher.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Is there a Python implementation for Cha-Cha 20? That's a very good question. And yes, there is. It's called Cha-Cha 20, pure Python code. Do you use Python 2 or 3?
3.
Okay. It's on GitHub. And there's a program that will let you do Cha-Cha 20 on Python.
Okay.
And Steve is putting it into the link list right now. So you should be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Thank you. Good luck. Have fun with that.
Take care.
I had not used Cha-Cha 20. Interesting.
Soundbites, please hold.
Several of the messaging
apps your name?
Recently have updated with post-quantum crypto.
Right.
The NIST has verified several algorithms for encryption that should resist quantum computing. And so now that's being built into messaging apps for end-to-end encryption.
Right.
So right now, our current encryption can't be broken, but in 20 years, maybe it can be.
Right.
And so there are rumors that the NSA, among others, is saving every single thing ever on the internet just in case we want to go back and find it in 20 years.
Well, and yes, I understand that. You know, we talk about the speed of computers, but sometimes that speed isn't instantaneous. Sometimes it takes a while for humans to make it fast enough. But yeah, they'll be able to go back 20 years from now and break some encryptions, although 20-year-old secrets, generally speaking, who cares? But okay, whatever. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Greece, New York. Hi, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I'm in the market for a new laptop and want to buy Vocal, but I'm not sure where to go. I was looking for some advice on that.
There's still a number of good repair shops around, both down in Brighton, and then there's out in Webster. There's a few places around that you can go and still shop around.
And one out in Victor.
Yeah. In Victor. Yeah, I mean, they're around. Just do a Google search.
Yeah, okay. we generally don't recommend
promote one or over the other because, you know, it's just not fair. I mean, depends on where you live and whether you're looking for Mac or PC. You know, that'll be a determining factor. And, you know, getting locally is always good because then you've got the support of that person if something goes wrong.
And we know and like a number of the people who own the larger shops. So we don't, you know.
We can't play favoritism.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I had a feeling you would say. But
yeah, sorry.
If you don't ask, you never know.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no.
Exactly right. But you know what? Take some time, go and talk to the people, and just pick the place you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, make it a day's excursion or even a couple of Saturdays, you know, wander around to the various stores, take a look, check out the vibe. It's as much of that as anything else.
Okay, that's it. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Yep, good luck.
Yep.
There is a list on RockWiki that's alphabetical.
Oh, that's
nice. I suppose I could post that. With no endorsement of any particular company implied.
Exactly right. There are a number of repair shops in town, and again, if you're in the market, go check a few out and check out the vibe in each one and see how you feel about it. Because those are the people, you know, you're buying locally, so you have a face to look at, which means you're going to be looking at that face once or twice in your lifetime, and you might as well find a face you like looking at. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred? Nope, not Fred. All right, Fred. We don't know if that's you or us. Probably, who knows?
As we've mentioned several times, this radio station wasn't designed for callers.
Right.
So trying to get through the school switchboard is sometimes tricky.
Right. I think I mentioned that on the little podcast things that Rob is doing, various people on the podcast. And one of the things we mentioned was when he asked us to come here, we said, you don't do call-in shows. I mean, people can call in with requests, but that's very different from our next caller is.
Yep.
So that's an issue that we have to do. We have to deal with from time to time. All right. Back to the phones, hopefully. And our next caller is Kevin from Rochester, New York. Hi, Kevin. What's up? Kevin? Oh, nope. That was Dave's fault. You there, Kevin? Kevin?
Maybe not.
Kevin? Bueller? Anyone?
Kevin? Yeah, okay. Hold on. We'll try again.
As Dave is frantically pushing buttons.
And let's see what happens this time. You there, Kevin?
Yep, this is Kevin.
There we go. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's up? Eventually,
I've got a Linux or a Latitude laptop that I've got Linux running on. I'd like to update the BIOS. There is a BIOS update available for it. However, I don't have a battery for the laptop, and it has a Linux app that I can try to update it, and it refuses every time I boot it up to update the BIOS because there's no battery in it, and it doesn't want to update the BIOS without a battery.
Even though it's plugged in?
Even though it's plugged in, yeah.
Interesting.
I did some poking around, and that's a normal thing for this laptop, apparently. And if I'm running Windows, the Windows Latitude BIOS updater will allow you to do that if you add, like, an argument or something to it. But the Linux updater won't let you do that. But so I went to the Dell website and looked, and they said I can do it from DOS if I have, like, a USB key that can boot into DOS, and I can force it to update the BIOS that way. But I'm unfamiliar. I mean, I poked around on creating a bootable DOS flash drive.
Right.
I didn't want to screw anything up with it, you know, so I didn't know if you guys have one of those installers that you use if you need ever to boot into DOS or anything like that.
FreeDOS is probably one of the best ones.
Okay.
And let me post a link to that. And it has a downloader, you download an ISO and burn it to a disk.
Okay.
Or a flash drive.
Yep. Okay, that makes sense. I just didn't know, you know, if there was anything else I should, you know, because everyone says if you lose power while you're updating it, it's pretty much.
Well, yeah, it's weird. Those updates are usually the other way around. It won't run on battery because it doesn't want your battery to die.
Right.
Well, apparently this for this Dell, it will only update if you have battery and power connected.
Which I suppose is the safest way to go.
Right, it made sense for me, and I guess, like I said...
There should be a way to,
if you do it in Windows, apparently the Windows Dell updater will let you do it.
Yeah, go ahead and do it anyway.
Right.
And then they probably got too many phone calls about, you know, my firmware blew. Because if your firmware blows during the update, the computer's dead.
Right, which I'm aware of, so...
Yep.
The other thing is I've bought two separate batteries online for it, and the computer will not detect either of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because they weren't Dell brand batteries. You know, I didn't want to pay $150 for a battery.
It's more likely that there's a problem with the motherboard. One of the things you should try, is you want to download the BIOS update software for Windows to a thumb drive.
Okay.
Then boot the system and hit that F12 key.
Right.
And one of the choices should be BIOS flash update, which will then let you select the file and add /force it,
okay.
F-O-R-C-E-I-T, in the options part.
Okay.
And then when you click outside that options part, you'll see forced. F-O-R-C-E-D, as a choice. It'll tell you it's done that.
Because it's like a Windows stub.
And then you can hit begin flash update. So it should work even with Linux, because you're not in the operating system yet. You're running strictly at the BIOS level.
Okay, so put the Windows BIOS installer on the flash drive. I'm assuming it's not an ISO, right? I mean,
it's just an EXE file.
Okay, all right, and you think the BIOS will then see that when I go to a boot menu?
That's the theory. That's what Dell says. So.
All right, well, that's one I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, so. Give that a try. Let us know.
Okay, we'll do. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
the one thing that is
a problem with Linux is that there are a number of very... rarely used utilities that are not as robust as the normal stuff. I mean, you can run almost anything on a Linux machine, but when it comes to something like an update, the BIOS, you have to understand that the BIOS is designed to not run anybody's operating system. So we'll see what that does for Kevin, who'll call us back. In the meantime, it's back to the phones, and we have Fred from Rochester, New York, on the line. Hi, Fred. Did we get you this time?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's that?
What's up?
Oh, I just was asking Dave if he's having a tough time on the phone board.
Yeah. He's got to stop pressing buttons with his elbow.
Well, try doing it one in it. You know.
I know.
Yeah. Been there, done that. So I got way worse problems than that.
What's up?
So I keep getting this error message upon opening. It says cannot open app package. And I look at the little information thing in the bottom, and it says it's an app installer 1.17.10691.0.
Left elbow.
And that, it says Microsoft. And I go, that's a problem.
What operating system are you running?
I'm running Windows 11. It's a brand new machine. I talked to you about getting it to do Fusion.
Right.
The only reason I got it.
When did this first appear? What were you trying to install?
Well, I found out what might be. There's a problem with installing DuckDuckGo.
Oh.
So when I open DuckDuckGo, it says there's an update. Well, I spent the next 40 minutes going from 0 to 100 on the update, and then the screen disappeared, and I go back to open DuckDuckGo. And it says, cannot open app package. So that's the connection, which I didn't know before. So then I decided to go. I had Revo and Unseller, and I couldn't find anything Microsoft app package. So then I closed out the Revo Uninstaller, and I looked at some other stuff, and I said, oh, okay, let me go uninstall DuckDuckGo.
Sure.
And I click on the link to Revo Uninstaller, and it says, do you want to let it have access? I say yes. And then it comes up and says, Revo Uninstaller is already open, but I can't find it.
And this happens even when you reboot.
Yeah, reboot, unplug, and come back tomorrow.
How did you install DuckDuckGo to begin with?
From the Microsoft App Store.
Oh, and so when you go into uninstall, it's not there.
I couldn't find it. I mean, I may be whatever. But now I can't get Revo Installer to open up.
And I'm also seeing that DuckDuckGo for Windows is in beta, so maybe you found a bug.
Oh, okay. So I figured, okay, that's good enough. I've got DuckDuckGo on my phone. I've got DuckDuckGo on my daughter's Raspberry Pi.
Is it error parsing application package?
No, it just says cannot open package. And it says failed due to unknown reason in the reason box.
All right. I found a link at DuckDuckGo. I'll post.
Okay. And then I got a couple more questions if you want to.
Yeah, hold on. It's going to be a while because we're at the end of the first hour. But hang on and we'll get back to you. All right. As you heard me say, it's the end of the first hour. But don't despair. We have a whole lot more show coming your way. A whole lot more Dave Enright, a whole lot more Steve Ray, a whole lot more Fred from Rochester, a whole lot more me, Nick Francesco, and a whole lot more of you. Easy enough to join in. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. And we will be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Take a quick bio break, grab yourself a little something to drink or eat, and it's important to stay hydrated. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 50 years on the air in Rochester.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we're basking in the glow of the new lights here on the in the studio. We are Soundbites. And we still have Fred. Fred, you still there?
I am.
Excellent.
Still sitting,
What's up?
You still sitting in that rotten chair?
Yeah, no. I have a different chair today.
Ah, good for you. I was gonna send a message to your manager.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So I'm learning stuff even while you're on break.
Good.
There comes a little, looks like a leveling bubble that's on the screen. You know, you have a four-way leveling button bubble on certain appliances, certain tools, and it's up in the right-hand corner behind my web page, and that's the access back to Vivo Installer. So I'm going to ask, hopefully the answer is yes, but I'm going to ask, when it says to scan and it comes back with a whole bunch of stuff in the registry, everything that is bold and has something with duck in it is things I would delete for DuckDuckGo?
I can't imagine. Dave is our Revo expert.
Okay.
I'm sorry, say again?
After delete, it says you want to scan the registry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back with a whole bunch of stuff and asks you want to delete it. But there's stuff that's in bold and there's stuff that is not.
Yep. What
so
you do?
All
right. What you want to do is over on the left hand side, there's a button there that says select all.
Oh, okay.
You check that. You first check that button that says select all. Okay. You'll see all those items get checked.
Yeah, you probably want to clean everything out, not
and
just
then,
DuckDuckGo.
Right next to it is a delete.
Right.
See, because if you skip that, if you don't hit that select all and then select delete, it won't get rid of them.
Yeah. I didn't know if it would select all, as in globally all.
It'll select everything that's within that list that it scanned and found.
Okay, because there's stuff in the list that isn't highlighted or isn't bold.
Yeah, it's just...
If you want to play it safe, just delete the stuff that has duck in the name. In general, Revo Uninstaller is essentially telling you, okay, here's what you asked for, but I found all this other stuff.
Yeah, but it also does a backup before erasing that.
Right.
Revo Uninstaller will make yourself a backup just in case you get an, oh, shit, you know, I want to go back.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
You know, just in case.
So there's, I guess, another Dave question. You had talked about in eons bygone, eons, whatever you want to call it, a Linux-based app for replacing QuickBooks.
Yes, it's called Money Dance.
Money Dance. Okay.
And it is free. It's fantastic. And like I say, it looks just like Quicken. It does everything. Matter of fact, I like it better because of the way you can schedule things and everything else and have it set up. And just gives you a better overall look.
Some time ago when you had first talked about it, I tried putting it on my phone.
Yeah, I don't know how
I called for help and on their website or whatever number they had, and the young lady says, no, you have to put it on a PC first.
Yeah, PC.
At that time, I was only using the phone. Mm-hmm. But now I've got the PC, I'm going to put it on there, and then I can go everywhere with it.
Yeah, and like you say, you'll love it because, you don't have to pay that month or yearly update fee and everything else.
I'd definitely send them a donation.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I had from the Microsoft App Store a small calendar and a small clock. Just a digital clock I put up in the top left-hand corner of my screen.
Hmm?
And when I was clicking on that other error message, I missed and hit the clock. And it disappeared, and I can't find it anywhere. And I don't know if you have any suggestions for a good on-screen clock. The one down in the lower right-hand corner is too small for me to see.
Right.
Unless I get my nose on the screen.
Is this Windows 10 or 11?
11.
Widgets, usually, if you look into the widgets, right?
Yep.
Where I see widgets?
In the Windows widgets, you can. They used to have clocks.
There is you can find the widget launcher in your list of stuff.
Okay.
And you'll see a bunch of things, and in the middle panel is the clock widget, and just click on it. Right click on it and say add.
Okay.
And then you let you place it wherever you want.
Drag it wherever you want.
There's also a bunch of different clock apps in the Windows Store.
Right.
That have different faces, different timers.
The one that I had, I don't like the flip letters, and I don't like the squirrely, scrolly-looking letters. I want something.
Yeah, you should be able to find it in the widget launcher.
Okay. Yeah, I got to find that first. Okay.
But it should be in your list of... Yeah. You know, hit the start button, go down your list.
Also in date and time in the control panels.
Right.
Or system settings.
Yeah, when I search for a clock, it gives me as a selection clock, and it comes up with a square that says they got a big I'm still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it comes up with a clock that I don't even understand what it is, and it doesn't work for me.
Try holding down the Windows logo key and hitting W. That should open up the Windows launcher, the widget launcher.
Oh, okay. I get a whole bunch of stuff on the corner over here, and mostly news feeds.
Right, and you just pick the one you want.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
All right. There you go.
And it's, you know... It clearly, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll probably be calling you back.
So when you see those widgets, they should have a plus sign next to them. If you click the plus sign, that adds it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not real clear when them.
No, I get no. Well, it's Microsoft.
That's that. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Fred.
And the Microsoft also has a free program called Windows Alarm and Clock on the Microsoft Store.
Right.
Part of the link I just posted on putting different clocks. And so you're going to have multiple clocks, different time zones. There's a daylight clock where it shows you the what part of the world is in day versus night currently.
Yep. So there's lots and lots of options, but the trick is getting to them, and it's that Windows W. Hold the Windows logo key down and press W, and that opens the widget launcher. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. When a lot of people don't realize when they're using Revo, an installer, up top there is a special place for Windows apps. You have to go there to find your Windows apps, or you're not going to find them in the uninstaller list.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. So you got to look for it right next to the uninstaller at the very top left. You go there, and it says Windows apps, and they're all there, and then you can get rid of them without having a problem.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you got it.
Separates Windows apps from third-party apps.
Yeah,
probably.
Nice.
Microsoft's own versus everybody else's.
Right. So that's good to know. Thanks. Revo is a heck of a program, and, you know, as we've said before, you get a lot for free, and you get a lot more when you pay, and it isn't terribly expensive. So if you can throw them a few bucks... That just encourages them to do the next version, much like this station.
Yeah,
encourages them to keep it on the air. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Rochester, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. A couple questions today.
Yep.
Got a question. First one's on Google Pixel phones, and two of you have those. I've been looking. And I see that the 8, not the Pro, but the 8 is on sale for like between $500 and $560, depending on how much RAM I want to put in it, which I thought was a decent price. The one thing I'm noticing, and this is right on Amazon, it says it's from the Google store, is it's coming with Android 13 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that just mean it was built before 14 came out?
Well, it just means that, yes, it was built before 14 came out, and... when you start it up, one of the things it will do is update.
Update. Okay.
Yeah. In general, once it's in a box, they're not going to go back and touch it. So you get it with 13, and it'll come up within X amount of time, depending on life. It'll come and say, "Oh, there's an update."
Plug
your phone in.
We've basically stopped talking about their dessert code names. 13 is tiramisu. 14 is upside down cake.
Yep.
15 is vanilla ice cream. I guess as opposed to any other. Because 9 was pistachio ice cream.
Yep.
What? No chocolate?
No chocolate yet. I prefer vanilla. I like the tang of vanilla. I do.
A good French vanilla.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got
your mic is off.
Your mic is off, by the way, which we prefer. But if you want to turn it on while you're talking, no, don't do it. Do not do it.
Remember who has control.
I do. I remember. Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
I shouldn't have anything to worry about there. It's because it doesn't say refurb. It says new.
Right. And that's it. It comes with what it comes with, and then you can update it. Okay. Pretty easily.
And the 8 should be able to update with no trouble for a while anyway.
Yeah, quite a number of years, I think.
Okay. Didn't they up until like 8 years?
Yeah, I think it's... I keep confusing that with Chrome.
It'll update longer than the battery will last, so that's no problem.
Right.
All right, second question. Driver updates for Windows.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Other than buying like a vast window driver update where it keeps track of it and tells you what to update, what's the process? Do you have to go through all the drivers individually to find out what's outdated, or is there a function in Windows where you can say update my drivers?
What computer is this?
What brand?
Yeah.
Frankenstein 2000.
Most of the name brand PCs will have its own built-in check for all the driver updates. But Windows is doing a lot of third-party driver update checking itself as well.
Now it is, yes. What you can do is... it's not easy, but you can go to any of their websites and see what the latest update is and when it was released. And then if you haven't updated that driver... since that update was released, you can download it and update it.
Mm. Okay.
And it doesn't hurt to update a driver that's already at that level. It'll just tell you it's already there.
Yeah. I keep getting these little blurbs from Avast because they want to sell me the software.
Right.
And it tells me how many drivers and which drivers are out of date.
Well, there you go. And then go to those websites and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Some of them are BIOS, and others are – it doesn't seem to be any Windows drivers that are out. It's all the BIOS-related stuff.
Yeah.
Which makes it a little more interesting.
Yep. So, it's always important, before you do any updates, to have a good, known backup. And it's better to have two. But it's much more important when you're updating the BIOS. You better have backups. Because when they don't go wrong often, but when they do, they go – spectacularly wrong.
Yeah, that's what I was.
They go south fast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that tells me I got to get this Synology drive up and running and get the backup made on it. So.
Yes, you do.
All right. Then I can go after the others.
Yep.
All righty.
All right.
Thank
have
you
fun.
Very much. Have a good Easter, guys.
You too.
Bye bye.
Yeah, tomorrow is Easter Sunday for those who celebrate. Well, even for those who aren't, it's still Easter Sunday, but. Lots of people going to go out for brunch. Lots of people have purchased flowers. Lots of people have done whatever they do. But there's also a bunch of other religious holidays.
Don't
this month.
Buy a bunny rabbit
right.
if you're just going to get rid of it next week.
That's right.
Yeah. Pets are a lifelong commitment. Their life could be long.
Mm-hmm.
One time, many, many, many years ago, I was walking around the market with my daughter, and she saw guys selling rabbits. She went over and said, what's its name?
Supper.
Oh, okay, honey, we're going to go over here now.
Yep. Yeah, I read a lot of animal shelters don't show black cats Halloween season.
Right.
People will just, take them for Halloween decorations and then either bring them back or let them loose.
Right.
Yeah, they usually let them loose.
Yeah.
And then,
we've almost always had black cats, and most of our cats have been outdoor cats. we don't let our black cats out around Halloween for like the whole week before.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, not going to do it.
My wife tells a story when she was a kid. They went to the feed store and there were chicks there, baby chickens like there always are. And she got half a dozen of them. And
cruising for chicks.
Yeah. She started raising them as pets, not realizing that her dad was going to eat them.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Why is there a chicken missing? Because we had it for dinner last night.
Yeah.
I can remember going to market back in the 50s with my dad. And we're going through there and we come up to the section where they have the chickens. And there was a couple there getting the chickens. And I think I was scarred for life because, the farmer gets the chicken and brings it out and then just quick snaps it.
Yep.
Ah!
Yeah.
Many years ago. See what he did, Dad? He goes, yeah, that's dinner probably for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think chicken comes from?
Yeah. Well, I've read so many crazy stories about people. Why do you have to kill animals? Just go to the store like everybody else.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Years ago, we have a pond in our backyard, and every X number of years we muck it out and so it's clean again. And then we generally fill it with goldfish. And the least expensive goldfish are feeder fish, the fish that normally get fed to other fish. So we went to the store. He said, we need 100 feeder fish. She said, okay. She goes over and she gets them. And she says, what are you feeding to? And I said, well, we're not feeding them. We're stocking our pond with them. And she opens the top of the bag and she yells into it, you hear that, guys? You're going to live.
until the turtle gets to them.
Until the turtle got to them. Exactly right. We had a snapping turtle who lived there. And
lunch.
Yeah. And it used to eat them. It also used to wait just under the water. And then when a pigeon would come down to drink, it would pull the pigeon underwater.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. After a while, when we were mucking out the pond, we found pigeon bones. Oh, yeah.
I didn't think they were quick enough.
Oh no. Well, it's just a head snap. Yeah. Zoop. Got it. Also, we discovered when we were having a picnic, it would be waiting right under the water there, and so we could feed it hot dogs. Mm-hmm. You want to be very careful.
Yeah. Not much difference between a hot dog and your finger.
And they would take, I would show, kids would want to do it, and I would say, look,
put it
I'd take the
shoot?
End of a broom or handle, and I would hold it down there, and it would snap the end of the broom handle right off. They said, you do not put your hands anywhere near this turtle.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to toss bits of
hot dog or put it on like a toothpick or something.
Skewer.
Those
chopsticks.
The long skewers for doing shish kebabs.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was lovely having wildlife in our pond. But, you got to be a little careful. They are wildlife.
Well, I can remember when I had the house on Roby. Of course, it faces Elmwood Avenue, but I had the woods next to me.
Yeah.
And there was a rabbit feeding, because we had this feeder around there. And all of a sudden, my wife started screaming and yelling because this falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Over in the trees came swooping down. And, he was, you saw him come down and he like disappeared. Then he quick came over these bushes. Bam. Nailed that rabbit. Rabbit didn't have a chance to even hop anywhere.
Yep. I came out of the house one morning. There was a falcon sitting on my fence eating a pigeon. And the other day I was upstairs in the bathroom, get up in the morning, go in the bathroom. I looked out the back window and there's little tracks, probably a squirrel, about halfway across the yard and wing in the snow.
Yep.
Wings, clearly there's a story there.
Yeah.
So... we have wildlife around and it's understandable,
the circle of life.
Yeah. we see deer all the time. They live on Pinnacle Hill and they live in all over the place. So, we see them in our backyards and raccoons everywhere.
Well, we used to get, that was, folks couldn't get over, they say, because I had deer in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the Brighton police go, you get that many? Because I had, if I had one, I had at least 6 to 8 deer show up. Because from Elmwood Avenue on down to, what's that street?
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, Edgewood, was all woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally made a path through there now. But that was all woods. And, I mean, I'd get deer come out of there, turkeys, fox. Fox. I used to have a lot of rabbits, like I said. That one little bunny, like I say, died. But the rest of the bigger rabbits, once the fox found out that they were there.
Oh, yeah.
There went the rabbit population.
Yep. Yeah, they're all over the place. As I've said before, I live in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill. So I see a lot of that stuff around. So it's out there, and we have those around, and you got to be a little careful what you do. I used to have a squirrel when I lived in my old apartment. There was a squirrel that hung around, and I would feed it peanuts. I would always go out, you know, if I was going hanging out in the backyard, have a pocket full of peanuts. I took a nap in my hammock one day, woke up to this really weird sensation. There was the squirrel trying to get into my pocket.
I reached in.
I got it. It didn't run. Wasn't bothered. Gave it a peanut. Gave it another peanut. One time I was working on my Volkswagen at the time, my Beetle, and again he came right into the footwell where I was working. You know, just changing a couple of fuses. Came right into the footwell and just stared at me until I reached in my pocket.
Sounds like your name.
Gave him a peanut.
There's some amazing YouTube videos of
people
that have built obstacle courses in the backyard.
Yes, yes.
And squirrels go through dozens of different obstacles to get to the nut at the end. One of them I saw, he started with a control where he had 5 different types of nuts to see which one they liked the best, so he knew how complicated he could make it. And within a few days, you know, they'd climb into cars and go down tracks and jump onto springs and swing over bridges. It's just ridiculous.
Well, we used to talk about wild animals to watch is blue jays.
Oh, yeah.
We'd throw out handfuls of peanuts, and the blue jays would come over, and you'd see them hopping from one peanut to the other, like weighing it.
Yeah.
And they'd always go for the bigger ones first and then fly off and then come back. And it got to the point that if we didn't put out the peanuts by 10 o'clock in the morning,
yep,
we're hearing all this squawking and noise. Now, what the heck's going on? Lori would say, oh, the Blue Jays need their peanuts.
I overslept one morning, and I went to the side door to leave for work, and the squirrel was hanging on the screen. Okay, sorry, buddy. Yeah.
The animals can be a lot of fun. They can also be very destructive. Like you used to have a problem with the squirrels eating through your cables and all that out there.
Yep.
Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah, that's a whole different problem. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Give us a call. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not, it's 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 34 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Victor from Irondequoit, New York, on the line. Hiya, Victor. What's up?
Hi, guys. On my Windows desktop, I've got a program called Ad Remover, and it pretty much gets rid of all the ads and the pop-ups that come up no matter what site I go on. But on my Amazon tablets, I've got all of them rooted with the Google Play Store. I cannot find anything that I can go on any site that will get rid of the pop-ups and the ads. Can you guys recommend something for that?
What tablet do you have?
I have the Windows or the Amazon 10-inch tablets.
Oh,
is it the sponsored tablet?
Sponsored.
Amazon sells tablets that display ads at a cheaper price than the tablet that doesn't display ads. And there's no way to stop them.
No, I don't have that, Steve.
Okay.
But they're rooted with the Google Play Store, so I can use better apps, I guess. But I cannot find anything that I can put on to get rid of the pop-ups or the ads, no matter what site. Like if you're going to ESPN, you're going to Fox News or whatever, they seem to pop up. I can't get anything to stop everything like I can on my desktop.
Okay, a couple of things. If this is a Fire tablet,
right,
you can go to Settings, App and Notifications, Amazon App Set. Do you get these on your home screen?
I have the Settings app on my phone, on my home screen.
No, do you get the pop-up ads on your home screen?
Oh, no, I don't. No, only when I go to different sites.
Okay, then what you want is in your app store, you probably want to get some sort of ad blocker, such as uBlock Origin or Ghostery or one of those. I don't have an Amazon Fire tablet, so I can't. I don't know which ones are available in the app store.
And is it an actual pop-up window, or is it just an ad in the current window? Because you were starting to send to the settings to block pop-ups.
Well, let's say going to the New York Yankees site, I get on there, and then I get a bunch of different ads that come on.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, and something like Ghostery or uBlock Origin will help with that. Nothing gets rid of all of them.
Nothing's 100%.
But it will get rid of a lot of them.
Okay, Ghostery and uBlock.
uBlock Origin is the one I use, and I like it very much, but either one will do it for you.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, goodbye.
Right, go ahead.
I say it's that catch-22 that the ads pay for the website, so if you block the ads, no one's paying for the website, so the website's going to go pay only.
Right, right.
Sorry, say again?
And as Steve said, Amazon has two versions of most of their tablets. The less expensive one is subsidized by ads. So you get a home screen with ads. You get ads across the bottom of the screen or the top. I forget which. And
both? Why not both?
Possibly, but why not both? That is in addition to the pop-up ads per website. If you're paying less, one of the reasons you pay less for your tablet is because you've agreed that it is a sponsored laptop and it is sponsored by ads that you don't really have much control over. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Greg from Fairport, New York. What's up, Greg?
Hi, gentlemen. I've got a relatively new Dell laptop with Windows 11, and this morning all of my desktop items disappeared except for the recycle bin, which is stuck in the upper middle of my screen in a gray bar. When I right-click on the screen and try and look at View, Show Icons is checked, and I can't move the recycle bin from that location unless I also uncheck auto-arrange and align icons to grid. Otherwise, it's just stuck at that point, and I can't figure out how to get any more icons up there.
It sounds like the desktop file got corrupted, and it thinks it's a new empty desktop, and the corruption is preventing you from making any changes.
How do I address that?
How do you fix a corrupt desktop?
Well,
restore from backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things you should try, the standard things to try whenever any file on Windows is corrupt, is to use the SFC command.
I tried that, and it shows no problems.
Okay. Did you use check disk?
No.
Okay. Check disk.
You can also do a restore point.
F.
Yeah, F to force, yeah.
Yeah, check disk /F, space and the drive letter C colon or whatever it is.
Okay.
There's also a DSM repair, but I think that's only for critical boot files. But yes, Microsoft does know that the Windows 11 desktop gradually gets corrupted. And in fact, it happened on a Dell.
Is this Windows 10 or Windows 11?
11.
Soundbites, please hold.
It's only about 3 weeks old. Been working great until this morning.
Yeah. Lordy, this is not easy. Okay, there's. Do the scan now. Do the check disk. Those are the things that Microsoft suggests. There's the DISM program. DISM. I don't remember what it did. Deployment, image servicing, and management. And you can do DISM space / online / cleanup image, cleanup dash image / check health. But there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do, and Microsoft does have a.
I'm looking for it now. You're actually in the tech. Gradually, yeah. All right. Let me use that search.
Yeah. The thing I searched for was Windows 11 desktop gradually gets corrupted. What will happen is there's just a list of things you can try, and I mean a huge number of them. And what Steve is going to do is post a link to all of those.
Okay. And so that implies that it's so fragile there could be 100 things to make it break.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, absolutely correct. But at any rate, that's Windows. That's Windows, and so that list is a very long set of instructions. To be fair, there are pictures, so it's a little less long than you think it is.
Okay, you're posting it on Soundbites?
Yeah, Steve is posting it, and it'll be there in a minute or two.
Oh, terrific! I really appreciate it.
Hold. Yep. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks again.
Yep. Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah. There's just. It's
Windows. You may want to check your user control panel and see if you're somehow in a different user.
Right.
And all your stuff still exists in the other user.
That's very true. That's very possible.
So maybe
because the trash is stuck in a location that he can't move.
Yeah. Well, maybe grid icon has turned on.
Oh, maybe. That's possible too. But yes, if you're in a different user, you will see different things. That's how you keep users separate from each other. All right, back to the phones, or not? Yes, back to the phones. Our next caller is Walter from Greece, New York. Hi, Walter, what's up?
Hi there, guys. The gentleman who called about his Amazon tablet and wanting an ad blocker.
Yeah.
I have a very successful one that I've used for many years. It's called Block This. B-L-O-C-K / D-H-T-H-I-S. But it's an APK that he will have to get through someplace like uptodown.com. You know, one of the safer APK sites. He can install that. But the trouble is he's got to feel how he feels about it. It's a VPN ad blocker. So it goes through, you know, you go to your website. It's going to go through the VPN. It's going to take out the ads, and then it'll present it to you. It's marvelous. It wipes out all the ads of any place that I've gone through, even like the local newspaper, the DNC. They have ads throughout the thing. Wipes it out completely. I go to any other website, wipes it out completely. Now, I use my Amazon. I don't do anything that I feel secure on it. I have a desktop and a laptop, whatever. I go through that. It's strictly an entertainment device.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, it works great, absolutely great.
Yeah, you just have to be aware that everything you do can be seen by the VPN provider.
That's exactly
so
right.
So don't go anywhere. You know, don't forget and go to your bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But you can disable it. I mean, that's the one thing. If you want to, look at sites like, again, the newspaper, any other thing, you can activate it.
Then nice. Go ahead and deactivate it, and then go ahead and do whatever you want to your banks or whatever. But it is a VPN who is collecting information, but they don't give me a load of other crap. That's what I like about it.
Right, and it's called Block This?
Block This.
Oh, I see. It's not exactly a VPN. It's a DNS.
There you go. Well, right.
Yeah, so it filters out known ad originating IP addresses.
Yeah. And I don't get pop-ups and anything else. I've used it for years. It's a great version. I think it's maybe version 4.1 maybe now or so. But whatever. But, yeah, it's there. He ought to try it. And he can uninstall it if he feels insecure about it.
Yeah, it's a 3.1 is the latest, according to their website.
Okay. Well, go to a secure APK site via Silk or whatever browser you want.
Right, right.
And download it and try it.
Excellent. Thank you.
But remember, he's got to go ahead into the settings, just as you say, that allows him to install APKs, other software, in other out of the Windows Store, the Amazon Store. It's in there. It's under settings. He's got to look for that to install it.
Right.
Okay. Thank
Thanks.
You. Thanks. Welcome.
There's... Again, it's that catch-22. Ads make many websites free. Ads are annoying.
Yep. There's been a new trend in because of ad blockers and because of hiding your email address. Many websites are now requiring you to sign up with an email address to get the information.
Right.
Because now they'll have a first-party agreement with you because most of the browsers are blocking third-party cookies. And so they got to find a way to get back that information. So they want your email address. And there have been reports of websites are blocking the duck.com email privacy.
That's the one I use all the time.
And so they just won't accept a duck.com address.
Yep.
So then you just don't go to that website?
Exactly right.
The other email hiding service, Apple has one called Hide My Mail as part of iCloud Plus. And because so many people have a legitimate iCloud.com email address, that it would be hard for a company to try to block all iCloud.coms.
Right.
So you can easily make a new random email address that comes into your inbox. And then you can filter it by the random email address you've created and just dump them completely. You just want to sign up to get a newsletter, but I don't want to get all the advertising. So I'll give them a fake email address.
Right.
So some companies are now blocking the plus option on Google to let you add filter labels that way.
There's a lot of temporary email, like 10-minute email and a couple of others, that are also being blocked by people. So what a lot of people are doing is create a Google address, use it for an hour, and then delete it or just simply never go there again.
And it's putting the onus on the user now to take more control over their online information.
Right.
And if people understood how much information companies are getting about you, they'd be shocked. But then on the other hand, there's studies. Somebody said, walking up to people in public, I'll give you a cookie if you give me your email password.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So most people don't seem to care about their privacy until it gets breached.
Right. Yeah. And then it's a horrible thing.
How did this ever happen?
Yeah.
Because you kept typing your email address on every random website you got open.
Yeah, that's right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, hi, guys. First, I wanted to thank Steve for that public service announcement about rabbits. That's appreciated. I feel the same way. And my question is about Google Photos. I'm having this terrible problem. I can't find the answer to anywhere. I have a new phone, but this happened with my old phone too, whereby the dates are getting off by a day. And I don't use the cloud service. I'm sort of a hard drive backup guy, and every time I look for an answer to it, it's always relating to syncing it with the cloud or something. This phone I got at Christmas time, and I took pictures at Christmas that are labeled Christmas Day, and I knew I took them on December 24th. When I go under properties, when I load them onto my laptop, it's the correct date, but Google Photos is giving me a date that's off by a day, and I'm stuck. I just can't find the answer anywhere.
Is the clock right on your phone?
Date,
time, and time zone. Sometimes you have to check the time zone, too.
One of the problems is that there is an EXIF tag. There are tags inside Photos. And one of them is the GPS date time. And okay. Google Photos uses that date time. Windows does not. Windows takes the time that it's saved on the drive.
Can I interject really quick? There's something else I forgot. As of the past 3 days when I take photos, the date's correct. And I noticed when I went to my laptop to look from my old phone at some of the pictures and videos that I moved over, I get to 1 month and they're off by a day again. So it's like my phone now, the dates are correct, but they weren't 3 days ago, and it hasn't changed back. The Christmas pictures are still listed as December 25th, even though the properties will show.
Right. The ones you've already saved on your computer won't change because they're not linked in any way to what's on the phone.
Right.
But,
right.
What it sounds like is that there have been a couple of updates over the last few days, and it looks like one of those updates fixed your EXIF GPS date and time.
Okay. Do you know if there's any way for me to fix the date as it's listed on my phone for the wrong Christmas date?
What you need to do is to... I don't know if Google Photos will let you edit EXIF data.
I'm finding it now.
Yeah, I tried to as best I could find it. It wouldn't let me do it.
Yeah. There are programs that will edit EXIF data.
Oh.
Most of the links about your data is wrong tend to point to an EXIF tool. I'm trying to find the best
one. What are you calling that again? A what data?
EXIF.
Okay.
Extensible firmware interface file? No.
Something. Yeah. Extensible. I don't remember. It's information file, but I don't remember what the EX stands for.
Okay.
On Windows, you should be able to right-click the image, click properties, click details, and you should be able to see it there. You can edit it, remove it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, right. On my laptop, I can just change the date.
Yeah, and there is a...
if you tap the on Google Photos website, if you tap the more icon, the three vertical dots, there's an edit date and time command.
Yeah, so you can do that there. And then there's a Google Play app called Photo EXIF Editor.
Okay.
So that those three together should do the job for you on all your devices.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate that. Can I ask a quick fun question for Steve?
Sure.
Okay, so on Prime, I'm getting the advertisement constantly before I'm watching Deep Space Nine for the fourth time, and I'm getting Halo all the time. So I heard you reference it before. I'm not really an all action sci-fi guy. I'm more of an intellectual sci-fi, Star Trek, The Expanse, Battlestar Galactica Foundation, stuff like that. Is Halo worth my time?
I'd say yes. There's a lot of space battles because that's what Master Chief is known for. But there's political intrigue. There's double cross, triple crossing, government conspiracies.
Great.
Poor Master Chief. Yeah. And the group of people they got together to play Silver Squad, you know, Pablo Pascal is what, 10 feet tall, and there's three men and two women in the squad, and they're all really big people.
Yeah, yeah.
Even without their powered armor on, they're really big people, and it's great watching how they interact with the regular Marines.
Right.
Awesome. I'll check it out then.
And you don't have to know anything about the game either.
Great.
Although if you do, it's, oh my God, the season two finale. Ah!
All right. Okay. Thanks, Tim.
That's great. Thank you. Happy holiday.
You
Happy
too.
Easter. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I just started watching Three Body Problem. The books are dense.
I keep for a long time. I kept trying to get the books out of the library, and the wait line is too long, and I miss it. But I found a Chinese version. There's a 30 episode Chinese version.
Yes,
free on Amazon Prime.
Yo,
James, hold on.
And
with subtitles.
Yeah, and so I got that in my queue list.
I speak a lot of Mandarin.
Yeah, ni hao ma. Yeah. But so I don't have Netflix at the moment. We cycle around. So I'm thinking maybe I'll go watch that. And everyone says that it's, you know, the first three or four episodes are just so
dense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the books are dense, and they have to get that stuff rolling.
Yeah. But great, a great science fiction classic physics. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Oh, hello, Nick. Yes, is there a program to test the effectiveness of the fan on my laptop?
What do you mean effectiveness?
Whether it's properly running. I called you about a week and a half ago. It was running all the
time.
And then, ironically, about 2 days after that, I haven't heard it running anymore, and I was wondering if it's properly working.
Well, is it getting hot underneath it?
The normal hot, yes.
Well,
there are programs that will display the fan
temperature,
fan speed, and the temperature. I have one. You know, my Mac right now is running at 41 degrees. Celsius.
Right. So there are things that do that. There are also things called load tests or stress tests. And what they do is they put the laptop under heavy load. Then, you know, they'll show you all the stuff like the temperature and the fan speed and all the other little measurements that are important to people. There's one called Prime 95.
Okay.
There's another one called Furmark, F-U-R-M-A-R-K. There's one called AIDA 64, A-I-D-A 64. Another one called Speed Fan, and another one called Heavy Load.
Okay.
A lot of them are also part of benchmarking. So, we run a high CPU load to see what kind of a benchmark your computer gets, but also test the CPU, test the cooling, and test everything else.
All right, I will try those. I wrote them down when Nick was telling me. I will try those recommendations.
Excellent. I think you really only need one of them, but certainly you can run as many as you want. That's not a problem.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, enjoy.
All right.
One of the things that becomes a little tricky is that in most of the modern computers, the fan only spins as fast as it needs to at the moment.
Right.
And so it might not be like my fan is spinning at 2,500 RPM right now because I'm doing all the video streaming.
Right. But mostly it doesn't.
Yeah.
And because they're variable fans and they only respond to load. All right. That's it for another week. A lot of callers and a lot of questions per caller this week. So thank you all very much. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I certainly want to apologize to the calls we lost. Although it wasn't us that did it, but I still want to apologize to them. And I want to thank everybody who called in. Great, great stuff this week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. Well, I have to thank Steve Ray, whether I want to or not. I'm Nick Francesco, and you've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. If you didn't get enough of us, you can join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. in the lounge. Just go to soundbites.org. /lounge. We'll see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?